Well, good evening, everyone, to the evening service. Good to see you along, and let's unite our hearts and our thoughts around a short time of praise. And let's start by just reading some verses of Scripture that help us to bring together our thoughts of this season of the year, this Christmas, this Advent season, thinking about the coming of the Lord Jesus and the purpose of His coming. Philippians in chapter 2 from verse 5 reminds us that our attitude, your attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. So we praise God this evening for the gift of his Son at the Christmas season, and praise him that his name was Jesus because he would save his people from their sins, and praise him that he came into the world with that purpose known in his own life and fulfilled when he died on the cross. Let's stand and sing together 465 as our opening praise. Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, stooping so tenderly, and kneels in humility and washes our feet. 465. One 156, please. 156. A lovely little chorus taking its word It's words from those famous verses in the book of Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace is he." A lovely piece for the season of year, lovely short chorus. Let's sing it through twice, please. The baby of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Saviour. Wonderful season of year to praise God for his gift to us. Let's sing 959, first verse and third verse this evening. First verse and third verse. Picking up again on those words that we've read together from Philippians, that Christ laid aside all the majesty and the glory of heaven. He humbled himself to come into this world as a human being and to live and to die for that clear purpose, to save his people from their sins. And if we're one of his people, we should rejoice this Christmas time. And if we're not, seek him truly with all our hearts this Christmas time. What kind of greatness can this be, that chose to be made small, exchanging untold majesty for a world so pitiful? Verse 1 and verse 3 of this lovely little hymn.
So
116, please. I know we sang a portion from it last week, but let's do so again this week. Still the season of the year, still the Advent season, and still in keeping with our reading from Philippians of the humility and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in coming to be our Saviour, down from His glory, ever-living story. My God and Saviour came, and Jesus was His name. Tonight we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 tonight. And before we stand to sing another piece and a finishing piece in this theme, let's just remind ourselves again of that verse of Scripture which the minister used for his message this morning. And again, it reminds us of the grace of God and the gift of God that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And reminds us again of how He humbled Himself, how He became poor, that we might through Him become rich. The richness of His grace, the richness of His salvation, and the great promise of eternal life that is ours through Jesus Christ. Those words in 2 Corinthians and chapter 8 and verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might become rich." This is the greatness, the goodness, the grace, the gift of our God this Christmas time. And let's stand and sing together number 700 in the books. Number 700, please. We don't often sing this, and I trust that we'll enjoy singing it. The choir, I hope, know it and remember it, because we did sing it together a year or two ago. And we can all stand and sing this lovely piece. "Thou who was rich, beyond all telling, all for love's sake, became as poor." "Thou who was rich, beyond all splendor, all for love's sake, became as poor." It's number 700 in the books. Three verses. Let's stand and sing it together this evening.
Those were lovely words and tie in well with 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 that we looked at this morning. God's will revealed, now men may tell, fulfillment true in Christ. The word did bring hour of the cross and triumph over hell, for Christ is King. Remember those words. Christ is King. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for our praise tonight already. And when we think of the coming of Christ into the world and what a step it was for him, we read these words in Scripture, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, rich beyond all splendor, rich not in this world's terms, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What staggering words these are as we thought of this morning. And yet what humbling words. They ought to humble us into the dust. Where is the room for pride? Human pride, when we read words like this, when we hear words like this, the coming of Christ into the world, that we through his poverty might become rich. Not rich in this world, but in heaven, where we shall enter into our inheritance. We thank you that Christians are heirs of Christ. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless the Christmas message another year to Ballymena Congregational Church. And those who belong to us, and those who listen in to us each week, bless them, O God, we pray. May they see you in a new light. And we pray that they will love you more and more. And so be with us now, we pray. And bless us as we continue to praise your name and to glean from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's have our reading then from Luke chapter 23. We finish tonight our series on looking at the passion of Christ, the death of Christ. Those hours from Gethsemane to Golgotha. Let's finish them tonight, and yet we can tie in Christmas with it as well. And we'll read familiar verses from Luke 23 and verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. May the Lord richly bless his word. Let me leave you with the following announcements. And do seek to come and support where they apply to you. And of course, there are different activities on. The Pathfinders will meet tonight in Rodney and Amanda's round there in Tullochdale after this a service around 8 o'clock. A Tuesday night, there won't be a midweek as such, but instead of starting at 8 o'clock, the choir practice will be at 7 o'clock, and some are going to meet then to go around the district and just give an invitation to the carol service next week. So that's on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. There's the kids' club on Wednesday night, and that will be the last kids' club until the new year. And the Christmas specials for the children and young people will be on Friday night at the Fun Factory round there in Pennybridge. And the young ones will meet from 7 o'clock, isn't it?
6 o'clock
at Fun Factory for the young ones, 7 o'clock for the older ones. Okay, so 6 o'clock for the young ones, and then 7 o'clock for the older ones here in the church hall. So those are always good occasions. Next Sunday then at 10:15, the Sunday school and Bible class, morning service at 11:30. And then our carol service. And our carol service is usually well supported. And of course, different ones take part. The choir will be singing at both services next Sunday. And again, the ladies, there's a sheet on the vestibule table there to help with serving. And so you could put your name down there to help in this way. And as you've come in, you've seen the card tables there. If you want to send someone a card, someone in the church, then bring your cards and set them there. And we'll make sure that they get them. Now, these are all the announcements, and they're all made in the will of the Lord. Let's then bring our offerings to him. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that when we think of Christmas and the birth of Christ, that it is not an isolated incident, but it is part of a bigger picture. We know that he came into the world. We know that he then died upon the cross. He rose again from the dead. And today he lives in glory. And he ever lives to make intercession for his people. And he has promised that he is coming again. And we thank you for this big picture. And Lord, we just pray that we will not be taken up with one thing, but we shall be taken up with it all. And we just pray that you will bless to our hearts your word this night. And do bless it wherever it is preached across our land. around this time of year, these Sundays will be used in preaching the Christ who came into the world. And we pray that you will bless that message to many hearts and lives. As he was born in the world, we pray that he will be born in people's hearts. And so, Lord, just continue with us now and bless our church over the Christmas period and into the new year. We pray that we shall know your blessing and your presence any time that we meet. We ask it in Jesus' name, these things. Amen. Let's stand and sing 366. Jesus is King, and I will extol him, give him the glory, and honour his name. Last week we looked at the sedative that was offered to him, but he refused. The sorrow that was for him. The soldiers who gambled what belonged to him. And the scorn that surrounded him. Let's continue that outline then and look at the scoundrels that were beside him. The two thieves. And this place called Calvary. One has said, how dreadful. And yet how wondrous is this place. And Amy Carmichael said, home of our hearts, lest we forget what our redemption meant for thee. Let our most reverent thought be set upon thy Calvary. How much time do we give thinking about Calvary, about the cross? Let our most reverent thought be set upon thy Calvary. Luke is the only one that gives the full account of the conversation with the two thieves, the two robbers. And we are led to believe that they weren't just pickpockets. They were violent men. They were violent thieves. They would have beaten you up to steal. Matthew 27:44 says, "In the same way the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him." So the two of them were giving the Saviour grief. John 19:18 says, "How here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle." And yet how significant that was going to be. I would say these two boys knew each other. They may even have been partners in crime. And yet upon the cross, they were divided. Jesus was in the middle. And they were going to be divided for all eternity. And Luke records the words of the impenitent thief, the one who continued to give grief. In verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." That's all he was worried about. Save yourself and us. He wanted brought down from the cross, and he would have just continued on where he left off. That's all he wanted. There was no change of heart. There was no true repentance. There was no sign of, "Look, if you save me, I'll change my ways." No, all he wanted was brought down from the cross. And yet what a change in the other thief. And of course, these are well known words of the Bible. This other thief, who just a short time before, maybe just a matter of minutes, who also voiced his opposition to Christ, hurling insults at Christ, he began to think things through, even in the midst of the agony that he was in. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. I wonder, were these two from a Hebrew background? Maybe brought up in the Scriptures? And he's beginning to realize now, it's God he's dealing with here. "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly. We are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then from his lips we have some of the most well-known words in all of the Bible. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You see, upon that cross, that thief, we can see his conscience beginning to awaken to all the wrong that he had done. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. And so you can see his conscience at work, you can see conviction of sin, and you can see conversion to the Savior. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He could see in Jesus what others could not see. That this man on the middle cross had a kingdom. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." That man knew that he was going to die that day. That man knew that when he died, he would be taken to paradise. And paradise is a word that only appears three times in the Bible. It refers to the place of bliss and rest between death and resurrection. It was a word for a beautiful garden. A beautiful garden. Paradise. All we see in those words, the words of Jesus, what certainty. Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth." We see what immediacy today. We see what company you will be with me. We see what glory in paradise. He was going to be with the Lord. And when I think, and of course, as you know, I've preached a few times over the years from the dying thief, looking at this man from different angles, you know, here's a man was saved in the last minutes of his life. Only John records in John 19, 31 to 37, the broken legs. Only John records that. And I've preached from that as well, to hasten death. It was coming into the Sabbath, and they didn't want the bodies to be hanging there over the Sabbath period. So to hasten death, they broke the legs of the two thieves. They smashed their legs to pieces. Now that's what we're talking about here. But they didn't break the Lord Jesus' legs, because it was prophesied. And again, there is the fulfillment of a prophecy on the cross of Christ. And we've noticed that from Gethsemane to Golgotha, the many prophecies that were fulfilled in those hours. Not one bone of his body was to be broken. Not one bone. He may have been battered and bruised, but he wasn't broken. And this man was saved in the last minutes of his life. But you don't let salvation wait until then. Because none of us know when we're going to die. This man knew when he was going to die. He was in the process of being executed. He knew he was going to die. Many don't know. Many die suddenly. Others take ill, seriously ill, and they may be terminally ill. And they know that the prognosis is not good. And they know that they're going to die. But others are going about their business and will die suddenly. And it gives us hope for those who make a deathbed conversion. And that is good. But we're not to take our example from the dying thief. J.C. Ryle said, "One thief was saved that no sinner might despair, but only one that no sinner might presume." Let's not leave it to them. And that thief is in heaven tonight. Today you will be with me in paradise. But they were separated. One went to heaven, the other went to hell. They might have been mates in life. They might have done their criminal activities together and shared the spoils. But they died. Jesus in the middle, John says. And as we look at those three crosses and we see Jesus in the middle and one thief on either side, that's the way it's going to be, isn't it? The Lord Jesus, there is division there. There is division. And the Lord Jesus makes the division between darkness and light, between death and life, between heaven and hell. The scoundrels that were beside him, we see the sayings that came from him. Again, we've looked at the seven sayings of the Savior upon the cross. We spend seven Sunday nights, I think it was, some years ago, looking at the seven sayings of the Saviour upon the cross. Again, well-known words. Again, some of them fulfilling Scripture. In Luke 23 and verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Words of supplication. How he looked at this angry crowd around him, the Roman soldiers, the Gentiles and the Jews, the religious leaders and so on. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Words of supplication. And as we have already seen, Luke 23, 43, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Words of salvation. John 19, verses 26 and 27. "Dear woman, here is your son," he says to John. "Here is your mother." Words of succor. Making sure Mary was being cared for after his death. Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Words of separation. Just for those few hours of darkness, 3 hours. The Lord Jesus forsaken for 3 hours. But oh, what must it be to be separated from God for all eternity? Not just 3 hours. John 19, verse 28, "I am thirsty." Words of suffering. How human the Lord was. "I am thirsty." He who made the oceans, he who made freshwater lakes, he who made the rain that falls from heaven says, "I am thirsty." John 19, verse 30, "It is finished." Words of success. The plan of God accomplished. Luke 23, 46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Words of submission. He laid down his own life. Nobody took it from him. He voluntarily laid down his life. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And with that, and when he had said this, he breathed his last. 7 times he spake 7 words of love. And all 3 hours his silence cried, "For mercy on the souls of men, Jesus our Lord is crucified." And then we see the sign that was above him in verse 38. There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." Matthew 27:37 says, "Above his head they placed the written charge against him." Mark says the same thing. The two thieves and other crucified ones would have had a charge nailed above them to say what they were being executed for. And this is what was above the Lord Jesus. "This is the King of the Jews." John gives a fuller account of this in John 19, verses 19 to 22. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek, the languages of the day. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written. I'm not going to change it. This is what I've written. It's staying there. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Because he is king. And he always was king. and he always will be king. He was declared king before conception. Gabriel said to Mary in Luke 1 and verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." He was declared king before conception. He was declared king when a child, when he was a toddler, running around Mary's feet, when he was round 2 years of age, and before being 2 years of age, wise men came from the east. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? He was declared king before conception. He was declared king when he was a child. He was declared king on the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Is he your king tonight? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Is he your king? The next voice you're going to hear while Darren sets this up is that of the Reverend Dr. Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. Great name, isn't it? He was African American. He was born in March 1913. He died in April 2000. He was the pastor in a Baptist church in Detroit for 40 years, from 1953 to 1993. And this is the extract of a sermon for the next 6 minutes or so. This is the extract of a sermon that he preached in 1976 on Jesus as King. Now I want you to listen to this. Now, it's a 1976 recording. It's a wee bit tinny, but every word that he'll say will come up on the screen. And this is his description of the Lord Jesus Christ as King. And apparently he hadn't a note in front of him. Once he started, it just flowed. And I just want you to listen to this.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his soulless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He starves and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's a head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. Yes. 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 That's my King. My King. Yeah. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yes. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah! He always has been. And he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor. And he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my King. Praise the Lord. That's my King. Time is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
Well, what do you think of that? I couldn't have put it better myself. I have that on my favorites. I have listened to that more times than enough. And I hope that you will be able to listen to it as well. You can call it up by those of you who are computer literate. And if you want to go home with every word, I've got copies here. I was able to find it and print it off. And I'll leave them down on the vegetable table. I think that is absolutely fantastic. But the question is, do you know him? Is he your king? Are you a willing, loyal, and loving subject of the one that has just been described so well? Is Jesus Christ your King? Are you able to say, that's my King? This is Jesus. This is the King of the Jews. And being a Christian is having a King living within, reigning in your life, and you being his subject. And we're going to sing number 1000, King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. I'll take these down to the vegetable table, and you can have this, fold it in half, put it in your Bible, put it in a book, stick it in front of the fridge, whatever you want to do. But the words are here, and you can read them over and over and over again and become familiar with them. Number 1000. Lord, may some heart say tonight, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.